CliffCentral.com.
We're in lockdown still, and will be for some time, according to the experts.
Are you keeping track of the number of days?
Well, I know it was 5 weeks on Friday last week, right? The country's been in lockdown, but we took 2 days more than that because we started on the Tuesday, so 3 days more. Okay, so we're on 5 weeks and 3 days then, Sia. Five plus today's four. So 5 weeks, 4 days for us, but everyone else 5 weeks and 1 day.
I think I should start keeping one of those.
Like a prison
cell tally. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So you draw four little bars and you cross it out. That's five. And then you add them all together. Yeah. All right.
Well, one of the things my family and I have instituted just to also pass the time in the midst of our day and working and whatnot is to have meals all together, you know, all three meals sitting down together as a family. So no one can go down and make cereal first in the morning, you know.
Oh, that's nice. That's good. You
know, well, on a good day, it's good. On a bad day. Mm.
Yeah, of course. But, you know, for some people, that's precisely what they need in their life. I mean, you don't live with your family the rest of the year. So it's kind of a nice little... It's
exactly to this point, because we were thinking back to the fact that we haven't been together like this for this long of a stretch of time since we were still in high school. Because after that, you know, people go to university, then we started working, then we lived in our own places. We have not been together. It's now over 40 days. Shucks, yeah.
Well, I suppose we've got to get some coronavirus news out of the way. So Leanne's got a few stories for us. Apparently Cameroon and Madagascar and Guinea-Bissau are doing some pretty wild stuff in their attempts to fight COVID-19. So what's going on in those countries? Let's start with Cameroon.
Well, the interesting thing there is that we've heard about this chloroquine therapy or chloroquine.
Yeah,
it's got to do with malarial medication.
Donald Trump was roundly abused in the American media for even suggesting hydroxychloroquine, which is a form of the chloroquine molecule. Yeah.
Yeah. So now, specifically in France, there's a lot of debate raging around whether a mixture of chloroquine and azithromycin, which is an antibiotic, can be used to treat patients with COVID-19. So in France, they're debating this, and they've actually said, we've done a few tests and it doesn't seem to actually work. However, there are a lot of African countries that are taking this very seriously, especially in which has fully embraced this French professor's method of treatment.
All right.
Despite this restriction on it. But yeah, they're providing this to a lot of patients suffering from COVID-19. So azithromycin is an antibiotic used for lung and ENT infections.
All right.
Nose and throat infections. And then chloroquine is the anti-malarial. So it seems that Cameroon's going full out on this, even though it doesn't raise much hope in the actual tests itself. And then Madagascar has shipped a whole lot of this potion. It's actually in the form of a tea.
Now, what is the rage with all of that?
So it's an antivirus potion and that Madagascar claims to have. They've shipped a whole lot of it to Guinea-Bissau and some other African countries. So it's a herbal tea that President Andry Rajoelina has touted as a powerful remedy against the novel coronavirus. And he hopes to distribute it across West Africa and beyond. It's been called or baptized COVID Organics.
Oh, boy.
It was baptized.
It's a drink derived from Artemisia, which is a plant again, with proven efficacy in malarial treatment.
Yeah, you know, so everybody lost their mind when Donald Trump said that hydroxychloroquine was a good idea and we should start doing tests and rolling this out. And he said, they found it really works. And then he said that, you know, there's got to be a way that we can introduce light, UV light into the body because that kills viruses. And people lost their minds. And then he said, we should also look at how quickly a bleach can kill it and find a way to do something similar in the body. And people went, oh, my God, he's saying people should inject bleach and they should swallow bleach. And I wonder if those same people even give a shit about the Madagascan president rolling this out, not only to people in his own country, this potion of his, but to people in other countries like Guinea-Bissau. What's the bet you won't hear a peep about that in the media?
I mean, the fact that he's loading planes with this tea.
They're effectively, they've turned it into an export commodity. It's just, it's incredible. Listen, I suppose if you've got the coronavirus and you feel like you are one of those people hugely at risk, and day by day we're learning that less and less people are hugely at risk. But if you are one of those people who is, then maybe this is something you want to try.
Yeah, I suppose desperate times, eh?
Yeah, I mean, sure. Go ahead. Do whatever you want. It's your body. You want to put something in it.
Yeah. Hey,
speaking of your body, have you heard that brilliant, brilliant song that they've made with Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma's press conference?
Listen,
guys, I've listened to this. I kid you not. I was addicted to this over the weekend. I won't tell you a word of a lie. I must have played it 50 times.
No.
Ah, see, just listen. You'll see what I mean. It's so good. It is so good. Are you ready?
And the reason are health related, but also when people swallow, they put saliva with the paper, and then they share that soul. It means they are also shared. If when people swallow, they put saliva with the paper, and they share that soul. It means they are also shared. If reason
are health related. Again. Wait. Here we go.
They put saliva with the paper, and then they share that soul. It means they are also shared. If one people swallow, they put saliva with the paper.
I love it.
And then they share that soul. Such an old people thing to say.
I love it, though. Man, it's just so goddamn catchy. I'm sorry.
Zol.
So I found out who the guy is who did it. He's a guy called Max Harrell. And he's a DJ. He's been at Ultra on the main stage. He's got like 8 million streams. And he's also got this one, which is based on Jackson Tembu's vibrator comment. Have you heard this one? This is even better, I think. Maybe. I'm still hooked on the Nkosazana one, but listen to this.
The personal protective equipment that we are rolling out, including issues of vibrators, that we will need vibrators, that we will need vibrators,
that we will need vibrators.
Issues of vibrators, that we will need vibrators, that we will need vibrators, that we will need.
I love it. That's just so good. So well done to Max. That's superb. He actually contacted me last night because I put it up on my social media and he was like, oh, you got to give me credit, dude. So I said, of course. I just didn't know it was him. So I've added it into the story, but it's on my Instagram if you want to go and find the link to him. Very nice.
Yeah. Just still on the medical front with corona. Mm-hmm. It's quite interesting when my grandfather died at the age of 102, and often I would phone my cousin, who's a doctor in the family, and ask her for advice on certain things. And she'd say, Leanne, you know, firstly, I'm a pediatric surgeon. And secondly, geriatric medicine is actually completely different to any other medication, any other medicine or practice. And that's that older people tend to show symptoms completely differently to how younger people do. And that's turning out to be true for COVID-19 as well. Mm-hmm. So obviously we know that the three things that you look out for are fever, insistent cough, and shortness of breath. And in a lot of older adults, they have really atypical symptoms, meaning that they get treatment quite late. So some of them have absolutely none of those three things. Instead, what seems to happen is that sometimes they may just seem off, like they're not acting themselves. They may sleep more than usual. They may start eating. They may seem unusually confused, losing orientation. They may become dizzy and fall. Sometimes they stop speaking or simply collapse.
No way. I'm really not taking the piss out of the situation. But so far, it also sounds like a senile person.
But that's why they're saying unusually confused.
Okay. Oh, but we have to find the difference here. It might just mean good old Sally needs a ginger biscuit just to get
blood pressure going. I don't know. I mean, really?
The whole thing is that...
I don't have any old people. You see, all my old people in my family, they did me the favor of dying when I was young. And I say that not
in that way.
I'm not being unsympathetic to the fact that there are people who love their grandparents. And I loved mine too. But my old people are terrible. I mean, over the age of 80, you're really living on borrowed time. And there are 80-year-olds and there are 80-year-olds. Now, I know that... quite possibly my grandparents would have been great 80-year-olds. Okay? Quite possibly. But they could also have been terrible 80-year-olds.
Cantankerous.
Well, or just senile. I mean, there's nothing worse than a demented old person running around.
Well, my gran always said this getting old thing is not for sissies. And it's literally fighting for your life every single day that you wake up.
And they've got aches and pains and there's always some problem. In fact, all old people talk about beyond a certain age is their health problems. Eventually, yeah. That's all they talk about. Now, if I get to that, Sia, you're much younger than me. Just come to my house and put some...
I'm not going to take that responsibility.
Put some of that Madagascan or Guinea-Bissau potion into my tea and just watch me fade away gently, all right?
That's another thing my gran always used to say. I remember we were at a shopping center and there was an old senile lady running around. And she said, if ever I become like that, please just shoot me.
Yeah.
And the irony of it is that she did become like that. Oh, and we couldn't shoot her.
That's so terrible. I wish you could have.
Oh, shame. Yeah.
See, but then, the whole world can't be filled with the Jane Fondas of the world who at 82 are still getting kicks out of being...
Look
locked
at
up.
Her. My God, if you're going to be 80 years old, be her.
Yeah, she kind of fooled us because her whole life's been based on exercise and healthy living. But she's just got good genes. She probably didn't need to do all of that exercise and she still would have looked the same.
Ah, Leanne, that's also a good word.
She's a phenomenon. I'm not going to take anything away from her. Jane Fonda is a phenomenon. All right. Mm-hmm. So again, it just shows you age is just a number, right? I want to get into some other things because there's so much going on at the moment that everybody's talking about and it's all just such a mess. We know that you can't get liquor and cigarettes unless you buy them on the black market. So has anybody managed to get any black market stuff?
Will I get into trouble if I say so?
No, because there's so many people doing it. Plus, you don't reveal your source, and it's already done, and they didn't catch you in the act.
Well, then yes.
No, I'm not surprised.
What did you get?
Cigarettes.
Yeah, my parents got some black market cigarettes as well. You know, they're all smokers.
Yeah, they say that it's one out of four smokers that are going ahead and using illegal means. And they tend to be the risk takers in the group, which is interesting because I'm not a risk taker and I'm a conformist and petrified of being caught by the police.
Mm-hmm.
But what was interesting is that the place where I procured them from, I was told to drive into a different street because the cops were already onto this location.
Oh, wow.
And there was a policeman dressed like a homeless person.
Hmm.
On the corner of the road, watching these ongoings.
Like a proper sting operation.
Yeah.
Well, it was just one guy, one cop, who the guy pointed out and said, that's a policeman.
Now, wait, it might be revealing too much, but is this like a store that's operating or is it someone's house? Is it a
war? You're under the impression that it's the store and you go into the store and ask if they do have cigarettes, they say no, and you leave, and that's when you're approached by someone off of the street.
Ah.
Okay.
Well, I've got a friend who, he's in the liquor business, and he's telling me that in less kind of formal, like out of suburbia, in industrial areas and in townships and in places where the rules are a little more fluid, and where you can't really police people as easily, he says the smugglers are having a field day at the moment. A field day. You can buy I mean, you've got to have money because it's expensive now, right? You want to buy brandy, it's like double, triple the price that you'd usually pay for it, but it's there. You can get it.
You know, it's interesting. I spoke to one of my mom's carers who lives in Alex, and I jokingly said to her, could she not source me some umkomboti? And she said that absolutely no one is selling alcohol where she is. Everyone's petrified. There were even people making it at home brewing it, and they've stopped after there were some arrests made as well.
Really?
Yeah. So you won't have much luck there either.
Well, another friend of mine lives in suburbia in Joburg, and last night they were all brying outside, and they had some music on and all the rest of it. And one of their neighbors reported them, and the police actually arrived at their house. And we're going to arrest them.
And so what?
Well, they found the couple. It's a husband and wife who live in the house, right? And they've got neighbors who are living on the property. They're like living in the cottage on the property. And the four of them were together having a braai and having a chat and had some music playing. And the cops arrived because
there was nothing illegal.
No, it's nothing illegal, but the neighbors ratted them out. Because they were having more fun than the neighbors, obviously.
You know, that's a big thing, is this whole FOMO or am I in the same boat as everyone else type thing, jealousy.
It's resentment. That's what it is.
Yeah, there is resentment. Like, for instance, yesterday I went to the shop, and when I came home, I could smell someone was braaiing. Mm. I could hear a lot of people together laughing and having fun. I could even hear the blender blending up margaritas.
Ooh.
Oh, did you start salivating, frothing at the mouth?
Yes.
And I promise you, the thought to report them came into my mind until I realized I was just being resentful. Mm. And another thing is, like, I've got a lot of friends who are complaining about the fact that there's no alcohol and no cigarettes, but I know they've got alcohol and cigarettes.
I want to know what kind of a person would report their neighbors. I mean, like, I get the resentment that you just described now. I get that. But you stop yourself before you actually pick up the phone and phone the police, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And act on it.
I want to know what kind of shithead, what kind of real self-centered, miserable, unhappy asshole does that to their own neighbors. Because you're going to live with that person next to you beyond coronavirus, right?
Exactly.
And one day you might need them. You might need to borrow some sugar or... that you might be in an emergency. You might have someone might put a panga in your head or something, and then you're bleeding. I mean, think about it. I'm being dramatic. But you run over to their house, and they're going to go, actually, you know what? You reported me during coronavirus. Why don't you just bleed out here in my driveway? Because that's what I would do.
And then did anyone see people running after 9 a.m. on Friday or over the weekend?
So I did on Friday. I saw some people running and cycling past the curfew. Mm-hmm. And why would I report those people? Why would anyone do that? You know, in California, the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, he closed down the beaches in L.A. County, closed down the beaches in Orange County. So now everyone's going to San Diego. So now all the people who would have been spread out between LA County, Orange County, and San Diego County are now all going to the beaches in San Diego. So you imagine, because the weather's nice, that's what people do. And frankly, you can be quite responsible on a beach. You just spread yourself out properly. People sit in little groups anyway, and it's probably the group of people who you're in the house with, right? Nobody sits on top of each other at the beach. You don't want to do that. So apparently now they're going to close those beaches as well. Instead of just leaving them all open and letting responsible people do what responsible people do. It's just madness. Anyway. All right. So I want to talk to Lauren, who's just joined us. She is actually – I feel so sorry for Lauren. I mean, I'm laughing, but it's just a horrible situation. So, Lauren, your honeymoon is meant to be one of the most romantic and relaxing moments of your life. And I'm imagining it would be blissful. You'd be in some tropical place, you know, and then suddenly it turns from being this wonderful, romantic, lovely situation into being fucking horrible and hell. And now suddenly, you're trying to get home from Thailand because you've been stuck there since lockdown.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we've been here since we were actually trying to get home on the 26th of March. Our holiday was supposed to be 2 weeks. Definitely something we didn't budget for. Let's just put that out the way. So yeah, it's been extremely traumatic, to say the least.
All right, but
very stressful.
So let's start off. Let's start off with the basics, because Sia was saying the other day, he'd love to be stuck in like Bora Bora or whatever it was that he said, or somewhere in the Caribbean. I said to him, hold on, you still have to pay for all those nights that you're spending in the resort.
Absolutely. And I think and your best decision you've made.
And everything else, right?
Yeah. But we are actually in quite a lucky position because we chose to come back to the hotel where we were at. Yeah. They have been incredible. And it's only Thailand where you get this hospitality.
Yeah.
They're actually giving us staff meals. So the staff that they have here, we're the only guests, by the way. Everyone else got home. It's the South Africans that are stuck. So,
oh my God.
They're totally tending to us, which is very, very sweet. They're giving us free food because it's just been so long. Like, we can't afford to keep paying for meals. We're also kind of in the middle of nowhere. So it's a bit hard to get to the shop. So they've been feeding us here. They've been bringing us food from outside. It's been great. And the rates as well for the rooms have gone down for us. So we're very, very lucky.
You are lucky, but it's still something you didn't budget for. And even if they're charging you a quarter of the price, which I doubt is that low, but if they were charging you a quarter, that means in 4 days you're paying for an extra day anyway. And you didn't budget for this. You budgeted for maybe a honeymoon of, what, 5, maybe 10 days if you're lucky?
Exactly. So we also paying for bills at home. I have 2 cats and a cat sitter in our apartment.
Oh my God.
So it's like bills at home. I'm paying for internet. I'm paying rent. I'm paying all these things. And then on top of it here. So it's not like I'm in a position where I can pay for two houses in two different countries, you know.
And what is your job? Because you're obviously not at work either.
So that was also very stressful. I do work remotely from here. I'm a freelancer, so in the advertising industry.
Okay.
I was in absolute tears and hysterics. I had a deadline for the following week, and my amazing husband researched online what laptop can we buy that would be able to run Photoshop. And we could buy online, and it got delivered to us. But that was also another wad of cash that we had to put on the old credit card to enable to work from here. So it's been rough.
What does your husband do?
He is a property manager.
Also not the easiest job to do remotely.
Not at all, especially with time differences. So he has been trying to do what he can, but in general it is very difficult to help people when they've had plumbing issues and they've had rent issues. He's had a lot of tenants back home say that they can't actually pay their rent. It's very, very stressful on, I think, the property industry right now. So he's quite stressed out.
So, Lauren, please tell me you two have at least had lots of honeymoon sex, and that's made it
the silver lining in this.
Everyone has been asking. I've even had clients asking me. They're like, is that honeymoon baby going to come along now? Because it's just been so long.
Oh, Lord.
even Neil's mom has been like, I'm getting to get grandchildren sooner than expected. So I'd say no. No. So it's just been very stressful. We did have a great 2 weeks while we were here.
There are going to be those people, let's call them assholes, who say, but how did you leave on your honeymoon if you knew that there was a coronavirus threat?
It absolutely drives me insane. I cannot tell you the amount of negativity that we've been seeing on social media or even friends of ours. This is not an extended honeymoon. We came to Thailand because they're very low risk, and they've actually, it was the second country to get coronavirus, but they've done exceptionally well. Yeah. I don't know if you've seen the numbers that they've been doing.
Yeah.
We also made sure that we came to places that had no cases. So we're very lucky that we're in a province that there were only 2 cases, but it's on an island very far from where we are. Also, provincial borders have been locked down, so we've been safe. We were on an island earlier on in our holiday as well, zero cases. So, and we've been very careful at airports with masks and hand sanitizer and just making sure we're not touching our faces and just trying to be careful. But it for us, it wasn't really risky coming here. And for many South Africans traveling, they weren't going to very risky areas.
Yeah, I just think, you know, everybody in hindsight, they're all so brilliant, but no one could have foreseen this. There's no way.
No one actually understands the situation. It's quite a weird one. Our friends at home, when I tell them I'm having a really bad day, they don't actually really understand what kind of a bad day, because, like, I can't get home. It's very difficult to communicate.
You two are kind of stranded, and you're relying on the hospitality of the people that you're with at that resort. Now, obviously, there are other things that you can tell us about your experience of lockdown that might not be as bad as ours. I mean, for example, you can buy things, and they can deliver online.
Yes, I think that Thailand has had excellent lockdown rules. They have, when you're going to a 7-Eleven, they're scanning your temperature and making you have hand sanitizer. I don't know what it is at home, but we could definitely buy online. There are couriers working. There's a curfew, so it was never, I think in Phuket and Bangkok, they had a 24-hour curfew.
Mm-hmm.
But in our areas, it would be the whole, I think, 10 till 4 a.m. curfew. Obviously, you can get takeaways, you can't sit at restaurants, things like that. So it's kind of, it was locked down, but it wasn't really too hectic. You can still kind of have a life.
Okay, well, I mean, that's interesting. And I think every country's trying their best to navigate this, but there are some countries that are doing it better than others. So when can you get out? I mean, have you found out when you guys can leave?
So we had really good news on Saturday. We are actually leaving tomorrow for Bangkok on a bus drive. So we are all the way down in the south. So it's going to probably be about a 15-hour bus drive.
Oh, nice.
We have to social distance in the bus. We have to wear masks for 15 hours of the day tomorrow. And we're leaving at 4 a.m. To try and get to Bangkok before their curfew. So it's going to be quite a hectic journey tomorrow. And then the embassy has finally, after 4 attempts or 5 attempts to get us a flight back home, we get to fly home on Friday. But then it's also 14 days quarantine. It's going to be quite a while before we actually get home.
So. Listen, good luck. Honeymoon from hell, but hopefully you've got to spend a lot of time with each other. You're still glad you got married to each other? I mean, you've been put under the stress. It's a hell of a thing to happen, first thing in your marriage.
I mean, we've had our moments, but I think that we're quite homebody people, so we were like almost looking forward to spending time together. And now I don't know how we feel about it now. Like, we're like, oh, quarantine together, I can't wait to get home, it's going to be great. And now we're like, we understand why people are going a little bit nuts back home, you know, being stuck together with their families, no place to go. So yeah.
Well, I'm very happy that this story does seem to have a horizon, and at least you'll be able to get back. And, you know, even if you have to spend that time in quarantine, I mean, a friend of mine did that as well, and he says it wasn't so bad, and at least you're able to, you know, you feel a bit closer to family and friends.
Yeah, I think there are a couple of quarantine situations. You either get put in a really nice place or not such a nice place, depending on where the Department of Health decides to put you. So we're holding thumbs that
it's not hell.
We get some Wi-Fi and some water. there've been a couple of stories.
All right. Well, I look forward to speaking to you when you get back. All right.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thanks, Lauren. Very good.
Cheers.
Nice to speak to you. There's Lauren. She's stuck in Thailand. And
I retract my statement.
Yeah, see, I told you, you think it sounds all great, but then you find out what the reality is like for people, and it's scary, man.
I completely do, because as I was chatting to Lauren, coordinating this over the past couple of days, she told me that she and her now husband, Neil, were, in inverted commas, lucky enough to find out, because, you know, they're 5 hours ahead, and there was a lot of hearsay about what the president would say before he first spoke about the lockdown. Mm-hmm. But they were lucky enough to hear about the travel ban when they were at the airport. So before they have even taken a flight out of the country. She says that there was an influx of people who were stuck in limbo. So there were, I think, like 100 odd South Africans at a point who were just randomly stationed at Heathrow Airport, who were in between flights.
Imagine.
So now they've done half the leg and then they can't go back to South Africa. And what would you have done then?
Here's the other thing. If DIRCO, you know, the Department of International Relations and Cooperation, if you ask them for advice, they say to you, oh, no, just ask friends and family for money. We can't help you.
Mm-hmm. You know, what's leading to all of this as well is the fact that last night a flight landed carrying 275 South African citizens from the U.S. And there are going to be quite a few more this week. But a lot of these people arriving from the U.S. or from Europe have lost their jobs overseas. So we've got a lot of people arriving in South Africa who
more unemployment.
Yeah, who don't have jobs. They're going into 2 weeks of quarantine, which means they still can't work for those 2 weeks.
All right, let's quite messy. Let's play a little fantasy game quickly. If things did really get out of control, let's say the shit hit the fan, right?
Yeah.
I love playing this game. You know, I've been preparing for the zombie apocalypse my whole life.
And you know it always entices anxiety in me. But okay, let's go ahead.
Let's play the game. So imagine everything goes to absolute hell. And you have 30 minutes to get whatever you can and get out. Where would you go, or would you stay where you are? Where would you run to if you knew, like, things were crazy and people like zombies. People were like zombies on the street that they were trying to eat your brains. Like, what would you do?
So you mean you can leave the country?
No, you can. Maybe if you wanted to try and, like, break across a border or something, where would you go? Like, in a desperate situation, would you go to a populated area, an unpopulated area? Would you try and head for an airport, get onto the highway? Because in those zombie movies, you always see people go onto the highway, right? And then it's jam packed and then they die on the highway.
I would just go. I've got a panic room at home.
Oh, have you?
Of course you do. Yeah, no, you do? Of course you do.
Okay. I try to go along with the fantasy, but no, I don't. I've always imagined and always dreamt that I could have this panic room that no one could see. So it was kind of built over a corner between two walls, and then it had, like, wood paneling, so no one knew it existed. And if I had to go into it, I could grab at least some dogs and cats and take them in there with me. Right. It's completely soundproofed. Mm-hmm. I have internet access and panic buttons and all sorts of things and videos.
How are you eating?
Sorry?
How are you eating? Where's your food?
Oh, no, she's got shelves stocked with, like, coup-baked beans.
Okay.
Mind you, when I conceptualized this panic room, it was just for purposes of someone breaking into the house, not to sit there through 5 weeks of lockdown or zombie attacks.
Okay, so you'd build a panic room.
Yeah.
Okay. And what about you, Sia? Would you stay in place? Would you try and head out? Where would you go?
Look, even in a realistic sense, now that I've put some thought into it, just a couple of streets away from our place here, there is a Boy Scout Center.
Yeah.
And just neighboring that is a paintball range.
Okay.
Just like in some forest situation. So I guess I would go to the Boy Scout Center. They have rope and stuff. And then run to the neighboring piece of land and just rough it out in the trees there and hide.
Sia, you would last about 14 seconds roughing it out in a forest.
Hey. And I actually think it works out pretty well. Okay. Yeah,
Some pine needle would prick your bum and you'd jump up screaming and run out of there, putting flames out on your back.
You know, the funny thing is, like, it's sometimes you think you would be better off in that kind of situation, but probably the best thing to do is to actually stay where you are. Like, Leanne's game is probably the survival one. If you go out there, you stand a chance. There's, you know, other humans and possibly much more dangerous stuff than that. But it's fun to do these exercises. And I mean, always in the zombie movies, you learn a few things, right? In the TV shows. First of all, that other humans are way more dangerous than zombies.
Liabilities.
Well, also, they see you and your resources as something to be gained. You can be put to work as a slave, and your resources can be stolen from you and used for their tribe, right?
Yeah.
So you become very primitive, but this is the way people are. Then the best place to be is obviously in your own home, because you can defend yourself better there, but you can also, you know where everything is, and you can make it work.
Your turf.
Right, correct. And people who go out there and try to rough it out, they always survive better in unpopulated areas. So in other words, the more rural your setting, the likelier you are to survive in the zombie world. But for most people, we don't live in rural places. We live in towns. We live in cities. And that's where the population is much more dangerous. So
yeah, we're sitting ducks, because houses would literally be raided.
Yeah. But you wouldn't want to get in your car and try to go out of town, because there'd be a rush, and you get caught in that rush, and then that would be the thing that would kill you. It's just bizarre. Like, I love this game. It's just the most fun game to play.
You'd just stay at home.
I'd stay where I am. Yeah.
So, you know, I've thought often about how the lockdown is affecting people who've been having affairs.
Ooh.
I've mentioned it before, actually.
Yeah, we have discussed this, yeah.
Yeah. It's quite interesting. There's a forum in the UK called Mumsnet, and this woman has revealed that during the whole lockdown thing, her husband has decided that he's going to open their relationship.
Oh.
He's planning to rent a second flat for his rendezvous. She's apparently said to him, "Is this not just lockdown craziness that's talking, and that you're sick of me?"
Uh-oh.
And he said, "No, I've been planning this for months." So he wants to reside at his flat during the week and then return home on weekends to his wife and children.
And she's okay with this?
No, she's distraught. Apparently part of the arrangement is that he said that he will not form emotional connections with anyone else, and he'll prioritize his wife and kids.
Ugh.
And then in turn, he's given her permission to see other men. But yeah. She's not allowed to sleep with any of them.
That sounds
like such a rubbish idea. You know,
oh my gosh, I would kick him out immediately.
These open relationships never work. They never work. I've never met anyone who's managed one for longer than a couple of months. It doesn't happen. Although, I must tell you, a friend of mine said that he arranged with this girl to meet her at the shops, and they went back to his place for a quickie. And then they went back to the shops. Isn't that cool?
So what, he'd never met her before?
No, well, they'd been talking on Tinder or whatever.
Mm. Oh, my word.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they met up at the shops, and then she came to hit, and she's going to come visit him again.
Look, it's very saucy and sexy if you think about it in a fantasy way. Doesn't seem appealing to me.
Yeah, like
maybe she'll wear a nurse's outfit with a mask and take his temperature.
Yeah, I don't think that's the part that turns him on. I think he's just starved for human interaction. Many people are, you know, and it's amazing how people will drop their standards at a time like this.
Oh, absolutely. Like people, it's desperation.
So if you're very unattractive and you're an ugly person, right now is the time for you to strike into the DMs of that person you really find attractive, because they might have dropped their standards sufficiently for you to be an acceptable target.
Just say, "Hey, I have a permit."
I say, "Hey, I have a permit, and I've I got a permit, and I can have visitors," or whatever. Then you're in. You're sorted.
Or like, okay. I've got 40 bottles of rosé that I'm trying to sell.
Oh,
I'd be there immediately.
There we go. Now that's exciting, right?
These are lockdown pickup lines.
Yeah.
Have you started planning anything for after lockdown in terms of like, yeah, as soon as lockdown's over, I'm having these people around for a braai, or I'm having a party or whatever. I'm doing this.
Can I just say at this point that people laughed at me and thought that I was being a pessimist, a hypochondriac, all of the above when this first started. And I said, guys, I would be surprised if I will be able to go out on my birthday, which is on the 8th of June. And I said this in March and everyone laughed at me and they said it'll be over by then.
Yeah.
And here we are, it's a month away and restaurants might not be open then. So, I was right.
In your face. That's what you want to say.
Yeah. In your face.
In your face. Sit on it.
That's what you're struggling to say.
Leanne's so rational. She's so sensible. She saw this thing coming. She's like, it's never going to happen.
Perfect. And yeah, and here we sit with apparently the peak happening in September. So
yeah. Please.
So what are you saying though, Leanne? Are you not even looking at planning?
Yeah, I'm saying
anything?
There isn't a future.
I want to give you some good news because I did see Ibrahim Patel, who's the minister in the president. I don't know which minister. Who knows who's who? I mean, you know him from previous administrations, right?
Yeah, that's the problem is that they move around.
And they're not necessarily expert in the various ministries that they get deployed to. That's just it's because they're friends with the president or whatever it is. I don't know. Anyway, Ibrahim Patel is now saying that we could proceed to level 3 quite quickly, provided we don't have too many infections. But what I want to be very clear about is that when you come out of lockdown, infections go up. That's obvious.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you then go back into lockdown. Because the whole reason you're getting infections is because suddenly people who weren't infected are exposed to people who were. In other words, you haven't developed a herd immunity. That's why, you know, in Sweden, for example, they're not going to go through a second wave. They're going to have a lot of deaths in the beginning because there are a lot of people who will be affected and people are moving around. And, you know, obviously your at-risk people have to stay at home. That's the key. But you're not going to – lockdown doesn't kill the disease. It doesn't stop COVID-19. All lockdown does is buy you time.
Yeah, it's almost as if the barometer that they're using is off. It shouldn't be depending on the amount of people who are infected that determines which level we're on. It should maybe be something really practical like space in hospitals, hospital bed availability and ventilator availability.
Well, apparently they've made provisions for that. There are certain buildings that have been designated as field hospitals, and let's hope that that has achieved its purpose because that is what lockdown will do. Let's be very reasonable. What we agreed to and what was proposed in the very beginning was that we needed a lockdown so we could get ready for when the outbreaks happen.
That's it. We needed the time.
It's not going to save lives because you can lock down and the people who were vulnerable before will be vulnerable after the lockdown and during, frankly.
Yeah.
All you're doing is buying time so you don't overwhelm the medical facilities. And at this point, we're looking good on that front.
And at this point, probably the only country in the world to be trusted with that would be Sweden, because citizens there are responsible and they're observing all the safety precautions while they're out there. But there are going to be a whole lot of immune Swedes running around eventually. This, like you said, this herd immunity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So let's see what happens. I'm not going to project or predict what might be the next step here. But if Ibrahim Patel's right and we can get to level 3 quickly and then get to level 2 and get to level 1, the faster we can do all of that, the more people will have a life to get back to and a livelihood that can pay for food and basic amenities, and they won't go into absolute poverty. And we can get this economy up and running again, because that will kill more people in the long run. Guaranteed.
I'll tell you, one person who's very happy to be alive is Boris Johnson. You know, he seems
You broke up for a second there. Boris Johnson, you mean the Prime Minister of Britain, right?
That's right, yeah. He's happy to be alive. He comes across as quite casual when it comes to the virus, and he got the virus and he was hospitalized, and it was almost as if he wasn't that concerned about it, but now he's you know, released an interview post getting home and getting over it.
He just had a baby, he and his wife. They just had a baby.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And he has said, you know, it was a really tough moment. He said that doctors started preparing for his death. There were reporters and his staff who were starting to prepare statements for his, you know, announcing his death.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So he said it was quite serious, and he knew that doctors were discussing his fate because he did get to the point where it was the decision time of whether to intubate or not. But what was quite interesting is that he says he owes his life to two nursing sisters who sat at his bedside the whole time. And then also to two doctors who were both have the first name Nick. One is Dr. Nick Price and one Nick Hart.
Hi, everybody. It's Dr. Nick from The Simpsons, right?
Oh, yeah. And what's interesting is that he's named his newborn son, along with his fiance, Wilfred Laurie Nicholas Johnson. Bless you. And the Nicholas comes from these two doctors, Dr. Nick Price and Nick Hart.
Okay, very nice. Well, listen, congratulations. Congratulations to Boris and his wife for their marvelous new addition to the family, and to Boris for being healthy again. Hooray, hurrah.
Yeah, now he's like, just let's get on with it.
Yeah, exactly. I wish everybody would take a big leaf out of this book, because although he was very dangerously ill, he is in the risk category, I believe. So, you know, that basically you got to look out for what they call these comorbidities. That's what everyone's saying. If you are obese,
what is that?
Well, if you're obese, if you have a compromised immune system, if you have diabetes, if you have old age, you know, age
heart conditions.
Heart conditions. Thank you very much. These are called comorbidities. If you've got those, then you have a very likely chance of this affecting you much worse than everyone else. If you're under the age of 18, pretty much zero chance anything's going to happen to you. Really?
Yeah, but you could not know about it, and you could be spreading it. Keep that in mind.
Yeah, sure. But that's the whole reason we're in lockdown. But you're not going to stop spreading it just because you don't have it now and you don't display symptoms. Doesn't mean you're not spreading it anyway. And those stupid masks, they make no difference.
I got my fancy one yesterday with its African print, which I'm quite excited about.
But did you buy it or did you make it?
Bought it.
My mother made us all masks. And
cute!
Yeah, but
that is sweet.
Yeah, but they listen, they're just cloth, so it doesn't really do much.
As long as it's three layers of cloth, and you can also insert a bit of vacuum cleaner bag into it if you want to.
Ah, please. I'm wearing it because I'm forced to wear it. I don't believe that it does anything. So I've got to go to the shops today, right? So I'll probably wear the mask just because it's the rule. But as soon as I get back in the car, I'm taking it off.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing. I'm happy to wear it because it means that anyone else who's asymptomatic isn't going to cough and splutter on me.
No. Right.
All right, good luck. All right, everybody, that's all we got time for now. I've got Toby Shapshak coming up next, though, and you want to listen to what he has to say, because we spoke about tech and how that's affecting the world during this pandemic, and how it's helped many people and many businesses, frankly, to stay afloat. But we also spoke about some general stuff that I think a lot of people are interested in. So Toby Shapshak, always a great guest. He's coming up next, and we found out what his lockdown life is like, among other things. But we spoke of many things that I think will entertain and interest you. Thank you to Lauren Bubb, who joined us this morning. She's honeymooning in Thailand and got stuck there. And thank you to you for joining us. You know, you can always get hold of us on 0797482090. And I know there were lots of messages. I was meant to get to all of them. I didn't, but I can promise you we will get to everything tomorrow. I got some time set aside for this. So doesn't mean I'm ignoring you. I swear to God. All right. Thanks, everybody.
CliffCentral.com